Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Welcome, Raw Feeders. I am Dee Dee Mershimoff, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble like my friend and our top pet nutritionist. You haven't heard from her in a while because she's a busy girl getting another certification in pet and human health. It's Neely Piazza, everybody. How are you, Neely?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So you're working on your homeopathic.
I'm doing a homeopathy academy year-long course.
Homeopathy.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. Let me ask you a question. Can you transfer all that knowledge about human homeopathy into the pet world, or is this pet homeopathy? Homeopathy.
This course is human, but it all translates the same. I mean, it's kind of like acupressure. It's the same system and the same types of treatment and all that kind of stuff. So it transfers easily. And in fact, I think one of the reasons that I was accepted into that program was because I wanted to specialize. I stated on my application that I wanted to specialize with animals. And she talks a lot about animals here and there, and treating dogs and cats and livestock and chickens and ducks and stuff like that. So it's very applicable to any kind of animals.
You know what though, Neely, I think that is so going to be needed, because if we've seen anything in these last 2 years, and we're seeing right now, is that people do not trust the medical professionals.
Finally. Waiting that flag for years. So I think it's definitely going to be needed, and so I'm excited about being able to be out there to help with that. And I'm already seeing a lot of correlations with things, and you know, the allergy thing, the food intolerances, and this symptom and that symptom, and I'm already seeing a lot of connect to that issues. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah, we got to burn it down and start all over, because everything is related to how much money can I make and how many drugs can I put in the system. And I don't really care about the health of your dog. You and I were, before this podcast, we were going over a food that is on the market for pets, and it was recommended by a vet that supposedly is a raw feeding proponent. And you and I are looking at the ingredients, and your exact words were, this is nothing more than kibble crap.
Yeah, it is. It was a basic crap kibble. It was like grocery store kibble.
Yeah, it was all synthetics and corn. And they were actually trying to promote corn, saying it was getting a bad rap. And cornmeal and blah, 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 blah. Yuck.
Yeah.
Okay. What I want you to address today, Neely, is this issue about ears. Listen up, people. We're going to talk about ears.
No. Well, and I have three, so I know about ears.
You got the big ears and the little dogs, right? Because this was a customer that has a German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd is 2 years old, and the ears do not stand up, Neely. They lay crosswise on the back of the head. It's adorable. It's adorable. But if you're looking for that, I'm a protection, I'm a strong dog, ears that don't stand up, don't say it. What causes ears to not stand up? Why don't they stand up?
Well, I think there's a lot involved with that. So I can speak personally from the corgis, but you know, just in a general sense. So when puppies of breeds that have ears that are supposed to stand up. You know, they'll go through stages, and some of them really early, both ears will go straight up and they'll never come down. Other puppies, you know, one will go up and it'll flop, and the other one will go up and it'll flop. And if they get really tired or if they get really stressed, they'll fall down, and then they might go up one at a time again, you know. So there's this whole cycle of up and down and up and down and up and down. So there is a nutritional component, but, you know, the majority of that, and they say 4 to 6 months, but a puppy's ears really should be pretty much, if they're going to stand up, from my experience, they should really be pretty much up before then. But long about that time is when, you know, their adult teeth are coming in and they're sending more nutrients to their joints and they're growing, they're having growth spurts and all that kind of thing. So there is an increased need for minerals to help form cartilage, which, you know, would come from things like trachea and knuckle bones and bone broth and anything that has any kind of a collagen component to it. So you'd want to add more of that. And a lot of those things will be things like duck feet, or like I said, trachea. So there'll be a bone component too. So there's an increased need for that. But there's other issues too. I mean, so it can be like the leather of the ears. If the ears are really big and thick and the leather is really heavy, it's really hard for them to go up and have the strength to go up on their own, especially with a shepherd that big. If they had really big ears, they might need a little extra help, you know. So you see some people that, I've never really been much into this, but a lot of show people will do that. They'll tape them up just to give them that extra support. So, and the dog that you just described, if they're like kind of folded over and fall towards each other, then that dog's ears didn't have enough support for one reason or another to hold itself up. And so it crinkled in the middle and then flopped to the side. So they tried to stand up, and at some critical point, probably if there had been an artificial support, you know, if they had taped them.
She did.
Right. And they still didn't.
She taped them twice and they still didn't stand up.
For how long?
You know, I didn't get that. I didn't ask on that, but she said she went through the taping twice and she's got another German, right? So she's had Germans. She's got another German, beautiful. And, but you know, some people think that calcium, just giving calcium supplements, would help ears stand up. That's not necessarily true, is it?
I don't think so, because calcium doesn't work alone. You can't, no nutrient works by itself. It's always in conjunction with how it would be found in a whole food, right? So where do you mostly find calcium? Obviously in bones. So if you give just calcium, that's really not going to be, I don't think, the right way to go, because you're missing what that calcium would be accompanied by in a natural state. Also, typically, calcium supplements are synthetic. Synthetic calcium is not necessarily bioavailable. If that dog was, so this, we've talked about this before, actually, with puppies. So, you know, we always say puppies need more calcium than adult dogs for their growth phase, right?
Right.
And then you've asked me on multiple occasions, well, what about the excess? What about the excess? What about the excess? Can it cause problems? Well, a synthetic calcium, yes, because the body doesn't know what to do with it. And some individuals are able to utilize it better than others. So, but it's not excreted as easily as, you know, a natural calcium like you would find in a raw meaty bone, or, you know, a real whole food item. The body knows what to do with that. It knows how to use it. It knows how to absorb it. And it knows how to get rid of the excess. I don't think that a quote unquote calcium supplement would really be appropriate. And at 2 years old, if those ears are already, you're not going to change them.
Oh, they're never going to stand up.
That's no, that there's a critical development for that. That's not happening. That's not ever going to happen for that dog. Again, in the corgis, you don't want a floppy eared corgi. That's not something you ever want to see. So no ones I've seen have definitely come from, you know, unconscientious breeders that, oh, this dog is cute, you know, that are not upholding the standards of a purebred dog like they should.
All right. But, so now that you've said about puppies, and we're talking about ears standing up, but it's got to start in that puppy phase. You're one of the foremost puppy experts. People get really freaked out on how much bone they're supposed to give puppies. And, you know, we have the PMR blends, but even there, Neely, that's still only 12% bone. We have 15% bone in the beginner's choice, and you have 17% bone in the duck and rabbit. But then I'll get these calls. People say, well, my dog's constipated. So how do we get enough bone in these puppies? What's the percentage of bone that should go into these puppies, and for how long, from what age to what age?
Well, again, it's going to depend on the breed, because different breeds will have different growth periods, right? So they bigger dogs tend, like giant dogs, will have a longer growth period than smaller dogs will. But typically you want right around 15% till they're roughly a year old, you know, and that could range anywhere from 12 to 20%, kind of falling with an average around 15 for that time. So, you know, if you have a blend that is at 10 or 12%, then give them a duck foot. If you have a blend that is 18% or whatever, then don't give them extra bone that day. Turkey necks, duck feet, duck heads, depending on the size of the dog, all those kinds of things are great ways to give extra bone. And then, you know, for people that are just completely totally uncomfortable giving real bones, which they need to get over that, but being beside the point.
I don't get that. People, they still, I had somebody the other day, they said, my husband is just fearful of giving our puppy bones. And I said, well, has he looked in their teeth, at their teeth? These guys are smart. They're not going to choke. I mean, you haven't killed a puppy yet, have you?
No, I have not. The better bones is, if you're going to do it in powder form, the better bones would be the way to go, because it is a completely natural, whole, grass-fed, ground-up bone. Sometimes things that are labeled bone meal are not really, that's not really what it sounds like it is. It's something that's been processed and denatured and all that, and it's not like a whole bone that's just gone through the grinder, which is basically what the better bones is. It's also good with, if you have like a little tiny breed that when they're little can't really quite get through a foot or something like that. So
like your little Effie, like your little Jack Russell, my God, that's the smallest puppy. Has she gotten any bigger?
Yeah, she's a little bigger. Here. Effie.
Hi, Effie. You guys can't see her on the radio podcast, but I see her. Hello, Miss Effie.
Aww. So yeah, that was a really good option for her, because she wasn't really able to do much with, she gnawed on it for a while and then looked at me like, okay, I don't know what to do with this now. So it's a good option for little puppies.
Okay. So I have the other side of that equation is, you know, if you read Dr. Billinghurst's book, Give a Dog a Bone, it's never like he says you're given too much bone, but there are studies and there are people and there are specialists who say, you don't want to give too much bone because you can cause bone spur. What would be too much bone for a puppy? And could they even get too much bone? Could they even poop if you give them too much bone?
Well, I've been going back and forth on that, because I've always said that 15 to 20% bone for a growing puppy is where you want to be. And that's always what I've done. And Dr. Billinghurst, you know, the father of the barf diet, he actually said 40 to 50% raw meaty bones, which would translate into 20% bone, basically, roughly. I think a safe range would be like I said, between 12 and 20% with an averaging out around 15.
Okay. So the way that you get there with our products, peeps, here's how we go. We got the 80-10-10 blends. Typically those, that's going to say you're going to have 10% bone. You got another 10% you can give, right? So give them a duck foot, give them a chicken foot. And the question I get most often, Neely, is this: every meal or once a day? Well, look, if your puppy's eating four times a day, you don't want to get four feet, right? So, well,
yeah. And also it depends on how much they're getting. I mean, you know, if you're feeding a pound a day and you have a 10% blend and you're trying to get to 15, you figure duck foot is 60% and maybe it's 10% of your total meal, then that would add that'd be right about where you want to be. That would add like 5 to 6% to the total. I wouldn't worry too much about giving too much. You know, if it's a lab or something, then, you know, give them and they're 3 months old, give them a foot every other day.
Yeah, I kind of look at the poop, and again, I'm with you. I'd worry about too little, not too much, because I think the body's going to tell you if it's too much, number one.
And again, you know, it's not like we're giving them drugs. We're giving them food. It's food. You know, you're not going to do very much damage giving them food. So it's not like you need to sit and calculate out to the exact milligram how much of this or how much of that they get. It doesn't work that way.
That's why I love the blends that we have so much, because they don't have crap in it. You know, you and I look in some of these blends and you're like, why do you need all that stuff in there?
I think that the quote unquote commercial brands that are AFCO approved put all that extra crap in there because they're trying to hit that AFCO standard so they can say that they're AFCO approved, which is total crap anyway. I mean, if it says that it meets AFCO standards and it's a raw food, run yelling and screaming the other way. You don't want it. It's going to have all kinds of things in it that you don't need. Those numbers are based on reductionistic single nutrient research on kibble. It does not translate to raw at all. It just doesn't. It's not a legitimate comparison. I mean, Fresh Pet is awful. It's total. It's like olive loaf. You know, it's so full of all kinds of nasty crap, and it's processed. And I mean, the good side to that is it is showing that people are at least getting the clue that kibble's not good and they need to go towards something more real and more fresh. They just have not figured out that those products are really not what they are cracked up to be. But at least people are starting to look and starting to realize that there is something definitely wrong. So, you know, let's take our wins where we can find them.
Well, Neely, it's so good having you back for a short period of time. We hope that you'll come back more often as you go down the road of helping pets. You know, you'll be able to do pets and people.
Yeah.
You'll be able to heal pets and people, and probably with the same stuff. All right, everybody. So listen, you can feed the 80-10-10s. You can feed the PMRs. You can feed the fruits and veggie blends, which is called the HVMs. If you need more bone in the diet, and we think you do, then get you some duck feet, get you some duck heads, get you some chicken feet, get you some turkey necks, some chicken wings. If the bones bug you because you're afraid that these carnivores who have these really sharp teeth and who are, you know, actually just little wolves, if you think that they really can't eat real bones, well, we've got the better bones in the supplement section there at the Raw Dog Food Shop. Okay. Send all your peeps over here to rawdogfoodandco.com. What, Niels?
I want to put a plug in for real bones again, though, because that's a psychological thing for dogs. It's something primal that they need to do. It satisfies an internal dogness that they have. And if you deprive them of being able to chew on real bones and real meat like that, it's not, it's incredibly disrespectful for the dog that's lives inside your dog.
I just heard Julianne Lee say the same thing. And you know what she was, well, she was saying it in this way. She said that itchy dogs, she was talking about a protocol for itchy dogs. And she said, and make sure that they're chewing on bones, that they're going outside, that they're working, that they're exercising, that you stimulate their mind. I mean, she said it in a different way, but she was saying the exact same thing. You are depriving your dogs if you don't allow them to chew on real bones.
Yeah. You gotta let them be dogs. I mean, they're not little people. They're dogs, and you have to honor and respect the who they are for what they are. So don't try to turn them into little people, because they're not, and it's not psychologically healthy for them to exist that way. They need to be able to exercise their primal needs and their dogness.
Yeah. Celebrate your dogness.
Exactly. We need to make a t-shirt.
Let's do it. We need lots of t-shirts. You guys, listen, Neely Piazza is here to work with you. She is in the health consult section. It's under the Learning Center. You can sign up with Neely. If you have a puppy, you want to start your puppy out right, you want to get them on, you know, the right diet. She has an article, the article that's in the Learning Center about getting your puppy started on the raw diet is written by Neely Piazza. All the links are right there, but a lot of people, Neely, like to work with you directly, talk to you. You can talk to her about what you should do about vaccines, what you should do about titers, what you should do about flea and tick, heartworm, what's the best supplements. If you've got issues, there's nobody better than Neely to help you figure out how to get out of that issue. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. Remember, we ship all over the place. We ship the raw. We sure do. And remember, Thursday nights at rawdogfoodandco.com is called Yappy Hour. Starts at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Goes all the way to midnight, where we have our sales on foods, treats, bones, and supplements. So get over to our website tonight at rawdogfoodandco.com, where your pet's health is our business. And we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you tomorrow with Dr. Judy Jasik, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.